Come on, the Bible says that, you know, there's going to come some test. It says that. We don't get to mark that part out of the Bible. There are going to be some tests. There are going to be some trials. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says that we can overcome them all. We can win them all. Turn every test into a testimony. I love that. Amen. And when you get out of your test and you have a testimony, it's important that you share it. You say it, you know. You declare it. You give God some glory about how he brought you out. But this scripture right here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. From the days of John the Baptist until now. Now listen, I know that this was written like way back when. And so sometimes I think, you know, when we read that, we think, oh, well, you know, it was like back then. But the Bible says now. It's still now. You know, the book of Acts where Jesus came down, the Spirit of God came down out of heaven. God created the church. You know, the Gospels were the setup for what was coming. Yes. Okay? And so the disciples began, while Jesus was in the earth before the cross, they began to operate in some things of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven, as a foretaste of what was coming, so that when Jesus departed and sent the Holy Spirit, they would be able to continue in the pattern of the church. And so when this says from the days of John the Baptist until now, it's talking about the initial setup of the pattern that we have of the church, which is still now. It was now then, but it's now now. You understand what I'm saying? And so if the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence all the way back from then till now, it says the violent take it by force. That means now we got to, if we're going to take it.
Yes. Amen.
We got to take it by force. Amen. Right? It doesn't just fall. Things don't just fall down. Things don't just happen because we might like them to. We have to take them.
That's right.
Amen. Now we have to take them as the church. As the army of God, as the soldiers of Christ, we have to take them. Yes. Take them. That's us taking them. And we take it by force. We take it by force. When I think of that scripture, take it by force, I think of two things come in for me on that. Number one is the taking it. The taking it's about us. It's our choice. As much as God wants us to have it, as much as God wants us to get it, it's about our choice. The violent have to take it. You have to take it. You have to want it. You have to decide, this is it. I'm getting it. I'm making a decision. I'm getting it. Great that my sister got it. Great that my brother in Christ had it. But I'm getting it. I'm taking it. I'm me. We got to take it. And it starts with the choice. The second thing that comes in that scripture when I read it is a by force. The by force. You know, we already know the Bible says it's not by our power, not by our strength, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. The force comes from the Holy Spirit. There's two things that have to work together for us to get what God wants for us, to partake of our covenant, of our inheritance. It's that we have to come with the Holy Spirit to get what's ours. So the Holy Spirit, he provides the force. Amen. We take it with his force. We take it with his ability. We take it with his power. It's that those two things, us coming together in the power of the Holy Spirit, that allows us to be able to get it. Amen. But it's a choice.
Amen.
We have the Holy Spirit, but we have to operate in the force of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just say take it. The violent take it. The violent take it by force. The violent take it with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, with the anointing of the Spirit in us is how we take it. And it's all about a choice. Because we can have the Holy Spirit, but what measure? What measure of the fullness of power is at work in us? And it's about a choice. It's about a choice. You know that story in Luke chapter 10? There was a story we read all the time about these two ladies called Martha and Mary. Y'all remember them? And the Bible says that, you know, those two ladies were there. They had opportunity with Jesus. Jesus was in the house. Come on, Jesus is in the house. Amen. And they had an opportunity that was presented to them. And Martha chose to be busy, to serve, to look at the natural things, to be about getting the outward thing done. But Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that when Martha, you know, she got a little upset. She felt like everything was falling on her shoulders to make it happen. Come on. And she went to Jesus and she said, hey, you know, I'm doing all the work here, you know, and Mary's doing nothing. But Jesus said, he said that she, Mary, chose. She chose the good part. She chose the needful part. She chose the thing that was necessary. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus so that she could partake. And that's where we're at. If we're going to want to take things by force, it's going to take, number one, choosing God, choosing time with God, choosing our quiet time with God, choosing time to be filled with the Spirit, getting up every day and recognizing we do have an advantage, we do have a helper. It's going to take us choosing the Holy Spirit. It's going to take us choosing the spiritual part over the natural part. Choosing the spiritual thing over all the things that need to get done. Choosing. It's a choice. And it's really only as we sit at the feet of Jesus that we stir up our hunger, that we stir up our desire, that we stir up our things that make us want to go after what God has for us. It's about a choice. Amen. Amen. And when we make the right choice, then the Holy Spirit gets involved. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit gets involved with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to, Miss Ariana, come on up. She's going to testify. Praise the Lord. She didn't ask to testify. We asked her to testify. Praise the Lord. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I actually didn't know this was going to be a long deal. I was planning on giving just a quick, short something about what the Lord had been doing in my life. And I'm going to try not to cry, but no guarantees there. At the beginning of last year, 2017, the Lord had laid on my heart to step out in faith for a few things financially. And he actually led me to leave my job, which is a big, big deal because, you know, I needed something to support my family. And, you know, it was kind of crazy because I wouldn't just leave a job without having one to go to. You know, that's just, normally that's not what you do. And I don't recommend it unless you hear from the Lord, like Pastor Chas says. So I left my job. The grace was completely gone. As a matter of fact, I didn't listen for 2 months and the grace was gone. And I was working there and it was rough. It was real rough. But finally the Lord said, when are you gonna leave this job? And I said, now, I'll leave at the beginning of the year. And it was January 2017. So stepping out in faith, I left my job, and he quickly gave me another one that allowed me to have more time with him. And in my, you know, there are a few things that he wanted me to start believing for, you know, bigger finances, things to fund, things in the ministry. At the same time, because I was stepping out in faith, I was seeing blessings coming, blessings after blessings. And at the same time that all these blessings were coming, the enemy had an assignment against me to attack my health. When I was 10 years old, that year that I got filled with the Spirit, I had also been attacked with the same thing. I had extreme allergies, not just seasonal allergies, but extreme hives all over my body. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, just that I was allergic to everything. And that year, when I was filled with the Spirit, the Lord healed me. And it never came back. It never came back until 2017, mid-year, when all the blessings started coming. So I got this report and I was driving home. I actually was going to see Autumn that day And I was crying in my car. I was like, Lord, I cannot live my life like this. You know, they said, this is what the doctors say. They gave me like 6 pages of, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. You're allergic to everything in the atmosphere. So good luck. Pretty much, this is how it's going to be for the rest of your life. So I threw it in the back seat. Not gonna read it. Not gonna worry about it. That whole entire time, the Lord was just really nudging me to spend more time with Him, just to, you know, commune with Him. Towards the end of the year, the things started kind of getting pretty serious. The year was amazing. There were blessings after blessings, but towards the end, I was really starting to get kicked by the enemy. My health started getting worse and worse, but I still, you know, God healed me once before, so I knew it was only a matter of time before He healed me again. I got a word from Pastor Joni that if we stayed a little longer, we would get a little deeper with the Lord. And that really, really stirred me. So that night that she gave us that word, I went to go talk to God. I went to go spend time with Him. And the difference was, instead of coming to Him with all my problems, Lord, I'm covered head to toe with hives and rashes. I can't sleep at night because I'm so itchy and it doesn't stop. And it's pulling me, like my sanity. I'm so insane because I can't stop scratching. I just wanted to commune with Him. I just wanted to talk to Him. I just wanted to be with Him in His presence. So I went and I prayed. And as I prayed and I just laid there worshiping Him, just beholding Him, I would feel His presence just come on me so strong. And that night He said, Ariana, if you say yes, then I'll take care of the rest. If you say yes to me, to my will, I'll take care of everything else. So I did. I told Him yes. God, I don't care what the cost is. I don't care what the price is. I don't care what I lose. Dignity, I don't have dignity. I'm itchy. There's nothing left. I don't care what it is. I have to have You in my life every day, all day. I don't care. So my time in the Lord in prayer came from, Lord, I need this, I need that, to Lord, I just want more of You, and I don't care what I look like. I don't care what the cost is. I just have to have more of You, deeper and deeper. I've got to go deeper and deeper with You. In that time, I would feel like, it's like a volcano, tornado, hurricane rise in me. And I've talked about it before with Israel, just like how occasionally I'd start to feel it flowing in me, and it would just get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, to where I can't take it. I can't contain it anymore. It comes out of me. And as I would spend time with the Lord, I would feel that. And it would get just more and more and more and more. And one day after I'd finished work early, I was led to Amy Semple McPherson documentary, and I was watching her and then talk about her healing ministry. And I just felt nudged by the Lord to just pray in the Spirit. So I was praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I felt something mighty, ferocious come out. I mean, thinking about it now, it scared me. It still kind of scares me because the ground felt like it shook. I threw myself, I beat my hands, and I spoke to that illness, and I commanded it to leave, and I felt it lift. But not only did I feel it leave, I saw it dry up. Like, it literally, my skin changed, my complexion changed. And to throw it in the enemy's face, that whole weekend, I went and I ate all the foods that were high, you know, like, don't touch that because you'll go to the hospital. I ate all those foods and I continued to eat them even when I wasn't hungry. What a way to start off the new year. So I would eat them and nothing happened. I was healed. And, you know, and I knew it was a sure deal. If seeing it wasn't believing it, Satan told me, don't tell anybody, it's not real. Don't tell anybody. Just keep it a secret because they're going to think you're crazy because, you know, it just didn't really happen. It's going to come back. And so I just laughed because I had been beaten so much by him, and to just to hear him say something so stupid just made me laugh. But I would have never gotten there had I not been nudged to just go and simply pursue God, just to pursue all that he is. I didn't bring my problems. I just wanted more of him. And in pursuing him, that mightiness came. And when that mightiness came, the healing came. So when Pastor Joni gave the word for 2018 about, you know, the word for the year, it was just so in line with what had happened to me. It was, you know, of course, at the end of 2017 and the beginning of 2018. But I knew what she said was right on track because it had happened in my life. And I knew that this year we would have battles, but we would win them. And that's actually exactly what the Lord told me before she gave her message. He's like, we would fight our battles this year, but we're going to win this year. I actually don't really have much planned for today because, like I said, I thought this would be a quick deal. But I just feel like in order for us to get where we want, we've got to go after him. We've got to pursue him. You know, Ephesians 3:20 says that, if you want to turn there with me, that'd be great. This is the New King James. Sorry if you don't have this version. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. The Lord just told me, he's like, you know, when you say yes to me, I meant it when I said I would give you the rest. I'll take care of the rest, and I'll do far more than you can ever imagine. You weren't looking for the healing, I gave it to you. At the beginning of the year, when our church had asked us to fast and pray, I participated from home, not really knowing what I was fasting for. Israel actually asked me, my husband, what are you fasting for? I'm like, I don't know. Clarity. I've got to have more of him. I've got to have more. And if I need to kill the self, then so be it. And it was shortly after that I received my healing. And it went back to Pastor Joni's message about how sometimes we have to kill ourselves, you know, through prayer, fasting, whatever it is, we have to make ourselves abased so that way he can be stronger in us. This is going to sound really weird and really wacky, but I feel it's right. And I don't know if I can do this. Can I do this? Okay. I'm going to ask if we could all stand. He's looking nervous, but I promise you, it's right. It's right. And I just want everybody to close your eyes. And at the top of your lungs, I want you to scream your battle cry for the year, for this year. If there's something that you're believing God for, I want you to charge it. I want you to charge it with all your might, whatever is in you. I want you at the top of your lungs to scream by the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Woo!
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You don't want to drop the mic? Glory. Wow. Exciting. Stay standing for just a moment. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's thank the Lord.
Thank
God. Thank God for taking care of our sister. Thanks for blessing her. Thanks for blessing her. Thanks for answering her. Answering her. Leading her. Guiding her. Thanks for giving her power. Thanks God for backing her up. Thanks for healing our sister. Thanks for getting her on track. Thanks. Thanks God. Thanks God for letting us hear about it. Thanks God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Glory to God.
Bless your name, God. Bless your name.
Hallelujah.
You're wonderful, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Glory. Go ahead and have a seat if you would. Hallelujah. You know, anytime somebody testifies or anytime you read some cool story or something, always look for behind the door. What was the secret? God blessed her. That's wonderful. We know God blesses and does exceeding abundantly. What was the keys? What was the secret? What was the... How'd she unlock the door? And you heard several of them. Several of them. One is she went in and decided she was going to get in His presence and go a little deeper. Absolutely. Then she executed after the power came. She sensed power. She executed. She said something. She said... Remember? She said she spoke to who? To the sickness.
Yes.
So that's, we call it pulling the trigger. Once you feel the powder keg boil, pull the trigger. That means you execute. That means you do something. You command, you demand sickness to disappear. Amen. Then she felt something. She sensed it lifted.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, when you do things like that in the spirit, many times you can detect that something's happened. Not physically necessarily. You might not always get to see the skin. But you detect it spiritually. You made the connection. I know that the fire connected with the powder. I know something happened there.
Amen.
Once you know something happened, then you can go eat.
Amen.
You don't just decide to go eat in spite of the doctor, like in his face. You don't be presumptuous with things like that. But after you've contacted the Spirit of God and something's happened, then you can go ahead and act like it's so.
Yeah. Amen.
Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, God.
Thanks, Lord.
Thank you, God.
And the Lord will train us in these things.
Thanks, Lord.
As you have sensed the, what'd you call it? The volcano, hurricane, tsunami, tornado.
Yeah. All right.
You sensed how to do that for yourself. Now when the time's right and you're in front of somebody, you can do the same thing for them.
Amen.
So if we get the tornado flying around in our prayer time, then it won't feel like it throughout the day, but as soon as it's needed, it'll come out of you.
Amen.
And so I think all of us need to get there and be there and start doing more. You know, we want to be the supernatural church around here.
Yeah.
Around where? Around the world. We want to be who God's called us to be. We're a supernatural church composed of supernatural people,
yes,
doing supernatural works. For we are laborers together with God.
Yes.
So we're contenders here. I mean, Houston Faith Church, if anybody's going to contend, we might as well be the contenders.
Amen.
For the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
All right.
Yes.
So we contend for these things. We want to shake the world. Not for glory, not for fame, not for anything like that, but because we're called to.
Amen.
And because God gave us this thing called Holy Spirit. He gave us His person. And His person has power.
Yes.
And He said, now you go do some stuff.
Amen.
And so those that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. So somebody's got to contend for that. And I know there's churches all over that are. But we're going to be one of them.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
We have to be one of them.
Amen.
And so that means we have to be ready for tomorrow. Aren't you glad you got to get out of the house? Praise the Lord. Yeah, you get out of the house. Go see some people.
Amen.
Help some people. Be ready at all times. Hallelujah. We'll read some Bible in just a moment, and then we'll see what the Lord might want to do with us tonight. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name, we open the Word. We open our heart. We open to the Holy Spirit. And we ask that Bren se vote kram salata, kren shevsekle, shen sleslike, pran sloslike, that in all things we please you in Jesus' name. And that you meet embrafaskata, that you meet everybody that seeks your face. You said you would. And so we expect that, God. So please do that for everybody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He'll meet everybody that looks for him. He will. He'll always, if you come toward him, he'll come toward you. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. If we just go after him, he'll come after us. If we chase him, he'll chase us. But we got to chase him. We got to chase him. Open to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Joni said this year, she mentioned the word anointing a bunch last week. The anointing is the contact of the Spirit with human flesh. That's really what anointing is. It's the contact of God's Spirit upon a human. Once God touches a human, it's anointing. Then once the anointed one touches you, it's called the anointing. It's the touch of the Spirit upon the human. Upon flesh, upon the human. You got it? That's what the anointing is. It's something of the Spirit upon us. And we need that. We need that in our personal life. We need that for other people. We need that to make it. We need that to have something besides this natural earthly dirt realm, right? Yes. I mean, love and pizza can only go so far. At some point, your flesh is going to be, you know, bored, and you're going to have another pizza. Or you can find a way to tap into the Holy Spirit and be happy all the time. And so we've got to have the Spirit. He's so important to us. But I wanted to read you this here. Acts chapter 1, this is when Jesus ascends to heaven. And he said before he left, he said, you shall receive power, or verse 4, he said, being assembled together, 1-4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he made a promise that you're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit what? Well, they had never touched the Holy Spirit. They had only seen Jesus do anything with the Spirit. And even when he did this, it looked natural to them. Then he says, verse 8, you'll get power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. So they, the faithful ones, went ahead and did that. And it says, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, well, they did a few things here. The number of names was about 120, verse 15. So it was about 120 of them in the upper room. And so they fasted and prayed for a while. Now, there's debate on how long they stayed in the upper room. Of course, over in Corinthians, it talks about the number of disciples were 500 that heard Jesus give the final commands. Here we say there's only 120. And so we wonder what happened to the 380. I'll tell you what happened to the 380. They got hungry for pizza. Not pepperoni pizza, because Jews can't eat pepperoni pizza. Orthodox Jews aren't supposed to eat. I mean, they could if they wanted to. They just, anyway. 500 heard the command. They might have even started off in the upper room, but at the end of it, at the end of their fasting time and seeking God time, waiting for the Holy Spirit time, only 120 were left. And so 380 people somehow gave up. Either they got hungry or they had something to do, or, you know, the kids or the relatives, or they got bored, or they fainted, or they, who knows? Who knows? But 120 people stuck it out.
Amen.
And stayed a little longer and went a little deeper and were determined. And so, you know, the goal is to get in the Spirit. We just read in Revelation on Sunday that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It takes a little time, a little effort to get in the Spirit. In this account, it took them about 7 days. Some people say 10. I think I've calculated 7. It was 50 days. The day of Pentecost, Pentecost means 50, and it was always 50 from the day of the atonement, of the killing of the lamb. 50 days from the killing of the lamb. Jesus was the lamb. He was killed. 3 days he was in the depths of the earth. He rose on the third day. That's 3 days. And then he walked the earth for 40 days talking with his disciples. That's 43 days. And then to get to 50 days, you only need 7 days. So there were 7 days in the temple, according to my calculation. So 7 days of fasting and intense, or maybe not even intense, just sitting around fasting and praying. Just sitting around expecting. Just sitting around obeying. Think about what they went through for those 7 days. And then what happened was something glorious. Verse 1, chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know, you got to get out the 380 people so that you can be in one accord with the 120. Now, all of you are the 120. Don't go sneaking out as a 380. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. 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 There's the key. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to seek Him until He falls on you. Seek Him until He comes out of your heart, through your crusty flesh, and upon you. You got to seek Him till you get in the Spirit. Now, what does that feel like? Well, let me just give you a couple tips, because some people are like, what is that? Man, that must be just so magnificent. Well, it's not necessarily wind blowing through you all the time. This one was. But it's not necessarily fire coming through you. You don't always get to feel tornadoes, even though that's wonderful, and earthquakes and whatever else she said. Sometimes it's just clarity. There's times when I sit here in church or I'm in meetings and I'm just sitting, and I know when I'm in the Spirit. I know when there's an anointing in the room. And it's not some grand thing like I see mist or, you know, the banner blowing around or anything. No, I just all of a sudden things are clear. All of a sudden I can hear God talking to me. All of a sudden I can hear the preacher and I'm hitting it, it's hitting my heart, and all of a sudden He's talking to me. I can multitask. In the natural, I'm not a great multitasker. Now, I can jump from thing to thing, but when I'm on a thing, if a thing is going to get done, I'm going to focus on it. But when I'm in the Spirit, I can hear the message, and I can also take notes on other things. I can hear the Lord talking to me. I know every time I sit in a meeting, when He starts talking to me, the anointing's there. You understand? Sometimes it's just peaceful. Get in the Spirit, and it's just peaceful. Sometimes you just laugh a little bit. You're just happy. Just joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, Joni did a thing years ago on holding things in the realm of the Spirit, holding peace and joy in the realm of the Spirit. There's a thing in the Spirit where you can stay at peace. We need that all day long, every day. All day long, every day. There's no reason not to be at peace. But if we're not disciplined over in the prayer time, disciplined in knowing the Holy Spirit, disciplined in recognizing He's with me all the time, and I could be at peace all the time, I don't have to be all, you know, frantic or chaotic or all that. But you have to continue. You have to go get in the Spirit, and things will happen. Okay? You might hear God's voice. You might get a knowing in your heart. You might hear a word. You might hear a sentence. You might see a vision. Peter fell into a trance. John saw a vision. Paul had many of those revelations. But you got to go get in the Spirit. Okay? So they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Of course, this is the initial infilling where the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you speak with other tongues. We expect that to happen for every hungry person. If you want the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. We need that. We need to spread that. As much as we spread salvation through Christ, we need to help people get filled with the Spirit so they can have this special, sensitive touch with the Lord. Plus power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. We have to contend for those things. Think about what they had to do. Now, they didn't know of anybody that had been filled this way. They had to just trust Jesus. Think about trusting Jesus 7 days while you're hungry, waiting for something you've never seen before. What are they waiting for? They didn't know exactly what. They knew the name. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what to expect exactly. They were just obeying Jesus, hanging out, waiting long enough. How'd that feel? It felt very dead. Guarantee it felt very dead. Just sitting around looking at each other, 120 people looking at each other, hungry. The 380s over there barbecuing and it's wafting over through the temple. They had to make a decision. They had to stay in one place just for 7 days. You ever done that for 7 days? You ever stayed in one place for 7 days? You ever stayed in one accord for 7 days? Maybe that's why you've never felt the mighty rushing wind and the fire sitting upon you. Amen. Hint, hint. I'm not promoting that we all take off work every week to sit in the presence of God. No. Most of us here have been filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues. We have the power. Now it's just a matter of a disciplined life where you spend a little time with the Lord. Give a chance for the Holy Spirit to flush you or come upon you or speak to you or lead you, guide you, give you power, give you authority, tell you something, commission you, etc. Make sense? They had to sit there. They had to watch all the others leave. They had to make their flesh shut up. Most people can't even make their flesh shut up for 30 minutes. And as soon as they get their flesh, then their phone's not shut up. The phone dings and, oh, you got to look at it. And then you wonder how come we're kind of lifeless. Not here. I'm helping people that are watching via live stream. They had to yield their time. They had to trust Jesus. Then you have to yield more time and trust Jesus and it feels like nothing's happening. You ever done that? Waited on the Lord, sought the Lord, prayed to God, nothing's happening. No, I don't hear nothing. Prayed in tongues for 15 whole minutes and I don't hear nothing. And they said peace, but I don't feel very peaceful. You know, I got the dogs barking and the kids screaming and all that. It's impossible. I just can't do this faith stuff. They had to ignore the apparent failure for 6 days. He didn't tell them how long. That's one of the hardest parts about it is God doesn't tell you how long you have to seek Him. Right? Amen. For 6 days, they failed. It looked like they failed. It looked like Jesus didn't know what He's talking about. You ever wondered, well, how come it didn't happen to me? God said it, and here I've been waiting on it for 3 whole minutes. I need an answer now. Doesn't He know I need an answer now? Well, have you sat in His presence for 30 minutes? How about 3 hours? Most people don't. Most people can't. The flesh gets the better of us. So we have to fight. And that's what this whole contending thing and this fight and violent take it by force business. The spiritual stuff is, it's in essence free. It just costs you your heart. It just costs you your existence. Like we don't want to go sit around doing nothing for 7 days. We don't want to just sit there and look to the Lord for that long. It's hard. It's hard. If it was easy, everybody would have a testimony like that. I wish I could make it easy for you. I just can't make it easy for you. I wish I could give you a button to push. You'd think after all these years we'd just have some buttons. We could just push the button. Who's going to invent the button to just get the Holy Spirit anointing when we just push the button? You have to contend. You have to make all these faith decisions of heart. I mean, you know, what do you need? What do you need in life? Most people need answers. Most people's answers, though, are to questions that they ought not even have asked. Well, half the time. We need to make sure we're asking the right question at the right time, seeking the right direction at the right time. People are so worried sometimes with natural little tidbits of life that they forget to delight themselves in the Lord. And they forget that He's already given you a commission. He's already told you to go preach the gospel, tell everybody about Jesus. Oh, and He's already told you to heal the sick and cleanse the leper and raise the dead and do these things and help people. He's already told you how to serve one another. But we're all worried about these other little, when I have so much going on, I'll finally serve God. See, we're not seeking the right thing. We want more hours at work. That's good. It's not a bad thing. But we want more hours at work, and that because it helps our finances, but then we're, What about serving God? What about serving people? What about spending time with the Lord? So all these things have to be, you know, in the will of God. Some people just need help. They need a breakthrough. Some people need a breakthrough. You run up against a wall, you need a breakthrough. I think some people that think they need breakthroughs, that's not what they need. So you need to ask the Lord what you need.
Amen.
Just like what she said. Did you catch that part of her story? Her normal prayer time was, Lord, do this and help this and fix this and I need this and I need that and I need this. That's how most people are. And then when she finally quit doing that, something happened.
Amen. Amen.
We think we need all this stuff and all this breakthrough and all these problems. No, you just need the Lord.
Amen.
You need your comforter to show up.
Amen.
You need to sense Him. You need to contact the Holy Spirit. This whole thing's about you getting in the Spirit, being in the Spirit. If we don't, we won't succeed. All right. I wasn't really going to do all that long. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. It's in a context that I don't want to teach through, but I want to show you this point. He who speaks... 14:4, 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. I just want you to see that. He who speaks in a tongue or prays in tongues edifies himself. Edify refers to being built up, strong, solid foundation, like the edifice of a building, solid. So when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. Edify yourself. Build up yourself. How many of you want to be built up? How many of you need to be built up? Okay, you pray in tongues a lot. I'm going to turn to Jude. You can go there with me if you want to. Right before Revelation, Jude says this. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. See there? Build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. 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 That's part of her story as well, wasn't it? Praying in the Holy Spirit. She just kept praying in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, every year, this is one of our goals, is to pray in the Holy Spirit more. I don't need a prophecy from the Lord to say, this is the year of praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because every day is praying in the Holy Spirit day. Every morning, every night, whenever your time can be, praying in the Holy Spirit's an everyday thing. It's an all-day thing. This is the year of reading your Bible. Oh, that's every year. I don't need you. This is the year of evangelism. That's every year. I don't need a special one for some of those things. You get it? Now, we've highlighted it, emphasized it certain years, maybe leading of the Lord. At the same time, it's not something that I did that in 07. We had a big year in 2012 praying in the Holy Spirit. That means you were built up in 2012. Let's get built up this year. Let's stay built up. Let's get in the Spirit, stay in the Spirit. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues, synonymous. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. It's synonymous. How do we know? 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit or in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Either you pray with the understanding or you don't. Either you pray in English or whatever your language is, you pray with something you understand, or you pray with the Spirit. You understand? Now, you can pray some prayer sometimes in the Spirit that's very led by the Spirit. You can pray it in English, but Paul called it praying either with your understanding in your known language or praying in the Spirit, which is tongues. He said the same thing about singing. I'll sing with the Spirit and I'll also sing with my understanding. So, praying in the Spirit helps us stay built up. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. See that? How do you keep yourselves in the love of God? Well, Scripture right before it. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now go back to 1 Corinthians. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is what we just read. Chapter 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Well, we don't want to do that, do we? The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed in our heart by the Holy Spirit. If you pray in the Spirit, you'll have the love of God. If you pray in the Spirit more, you'll be more tender and gentle, loving and kind, and you'll be nice to people. How many of you want to be nice in 2018? You know, I never hear any preacher prophesy that this is the year of Christians being actually nice again. This is the year we get back to being real loving, kind Christians. They never do that. That's not sensational enough. This is the year we're all going to walk in love. Well, you ought to be doing that every year. Amen. Well, if you want to walk in love, if you want to be nice to your people, you'll have to pray in tongues more. Amen. How do you know when someone hadn't been praying in tongues? We could probably, if you've spent 5 minutes with anybody in here, you'll know if they've been praying in tongues or not. Go to lunch with them, and by the end of lunch, you'll know. In your house, spouses, and with your kids, that can be a thing.
Yeah.
Somebody gets all cantankerous in the family, just look at them and say, you hadn't been praying in tongues, have you? Don't be mad at them. They're just being carnal. Just remind them that there's a way out of that garbage. See, I'm sure it'll go over real big. Well, I was going to do that, but I'm not. Go to Ephesians. We'll end with this one scripture, and then we'll give some time for the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Remember Joni talked about the spirit of might? That's kind of our annual message here. The spirit of might. We ought to tap into that. Mm-hmm. You tapped into it last year. I thought it was this year. No, but that's a great example of the spirit of might where something comes on you and you accomplish something. You dominate something. The spirit of might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Get in the Spirit. Get some might. Be strong about it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Sure, the devil might mess with people, but we're not afraid of the devil. Now, if you don't have your armor, if you're not being strong in the power of His might, if you're being an old mealy-mouthed weakling. I mean, good Christians, you know, can get weak. Good Christians, I think I've probably done it in the past. Okay, we won't go there. There's no need to do that. The devil's going to mess with people, but we need to stand against the wiles of the devil with the Spirit of God. Get in the Spirit and it'll be easier. Get in the Spirit and we won't have to be a weakling. Amen. How many of you love being weaklings? Nobody likes to be a weakling. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yes.
You single people, you have an advantage. You can be a weakling, nobody knows about it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm not going to teach on that, but this is not you getting in the dirt all the time with devils. No, when it says wrestle here, it means hold your ground. We stand firm against these things. That's a better way to look at that word wrestle. Don't think of WW whatever. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice that the Word of God is how the Holy Spirit is going to get things done. Words are going to have to be said for power to work. That's why in her story, she had to say something for power to work. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice that term, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit with all types of prayer. Praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit is how we get the might of God. So how about let's commit to some things? How about we get in the Spirit and commit to some things? There's some time that we need to spend even on our own. Get in the Spirit and commit and consecrate. Put yourself in a place for God to use in the Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.